Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
Welcome back after a 2-week hiatus to the conversation. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Psalm 147:5. This week on the conversation, MLS News is buzzing around the fact that Steven Gerrard has confirmed he is giving up a 25-year association with Liverpool to come over to the LA Galaxy and replace the great and best MLS player of all time, Landon Donovan. Also, New York Red Bulls, who replaced Thierry Henry? Well, who really cares right now? We need to do something about the management, as sporting director Ali Curtis has announced that they're like the coach, the manager. I mean, you go back 10 years with the Red Bulls, they probably had more managers than Manchester United has since they started. Also, a family couple gets an apology phone call from Barack Obama because they had to move their wedding because of a golf game, and I guess now what you find out is they just moved it away. It wasn't like, I don't know, I guess they had to move a wedding for Obama. I wouldn't have done it. Also, Mike Huckabee is leaving Fox News' program that he does to explore a chance to run for president. I'll tell you why he's doing that. And it goes back to knowing your history. Remember, folks, the Republican Party now is basically the Whigs Party of old. And there are people in this country that want to turn this Whigs Party into the Republican Party. Exactly what's going on now. There are people that want to change the Republican Party into a new party because we only got one party. The conversation is going to start right now, folks. And welcome, and hope you had a great holiday season. And it's been years since I've been on the radio and you've heard me, so hope you're doing well. It's been years since you've heard me, so I'm doing great. Had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. New Year's was incredible. I got to see Highland Rain's last show of 2014 and their first show of 2015. I didn't plan on closing and seeing the whole 2015 first show, but I'm going to go home a little early. Next thing you know, after spending three quarters of the intermission talking to Leslie Miller, and then next thing I know, it's two songs left and I'll just stay. And so that's how that goes. But, you know, Jerry was there, so you got to talk to Jerry O'Brien and all them and Mark, and next thing you know, how it is. Wait. But Steven Gerrard is coming for a reported £6 million to U.S. to play for the LA Galaxy and replace the great Landon Donovan. Bruce Arna, the head coach, has confirmed. Steven Gerrard has confirmed. So it is happening. He'll be there in July, and they have a plan for him. And with his long association with Liverpool, you thought he might be like a Ryan Giggs and maybe go into maybe being like some sort of manager at some point when he retired from Liverpool. I never expected him to leave Liverpool. I don't think the Liverpool fans are, I don't know. It is what it is. So, yeah, if the Liverpool fans aren't happy, boo-hoo. I mean, that could have happened with Ryan Giggs. He could have said, you know, and I'd have been like, hey, it's his wife. Yeah, well, I'd love to have had Ryan Giggs stay at Manchester United, but you know what? He wanted to play for my New York Red Bulls. He stayed at Manchester United, and history is what it is, you know. But something's going to happen at New York. With coach after, I mean, why did they, I don't know. I bet you $100 we can get Jose Mourinho as our coach and manage the team. He could win an MLS Cup 1 year, second place next year, and they'd fire him. They'd let him go. Why can't they just take someone that's decent and keep them? Yeah, they'll probably take like a David Moyes and he probably won't win a game. Oh, let's keep him. He's doing great. He's not winning. We got to have him as our manager at the Red Bulls. I mean, come on. Mike wasn't bad. He was 2 years. 2 years is like an eternity if you can stay on that long at New York. But it goes back to NFL when we were talking about this yesterday with at work with some teams. Would you rather not make the playoffs or make the playoffs every year, and every year you make the playoffs, you go out in the first round? Well, I'd probably rather not make the playoffs than say I went 5 years and was out in the first round every year. That's just me. That's just me. I mean, I don't know. The Red Bulls had a great season this year. I mean, LA Galaxy was the best team. I'm sorry. They had the best team. You know, say what you want. I think it's going to be hard to ever find anyone as good as Landon Donovan. He was incredible. He's one of those. It's one of those times when you go, okay, you can cry now. It's okay. Landon Donovan's just retiring. It's okay to cry. You know, and when I do my sports stuff, I was looked up to Stuart Scott, and then I got a thing from Yahoo Sports that he had passed. I'm like, that is the legendary. He was incredible. He had a way with words, you know. One of my favorite lines from Tommy Boy, I love that movie, he goes, remember, you're selling you, not just bread pads, you know, and that's what he did. He didn't just talk about sports, he sold himself. He put himself out, like, hey, this is, you know, and, you know, he wasn't just reading the words on the page, they came alive, you know, and anyone can just read a teleprompter. And this week on The Conversation, we're going to talk about, or you can have life, and that's what Stuart Scott brought. And that's what I try to bring to my conversation, just to, you know. But who will replace Thierry Henry? The great Frenchman. Can you replace him? I think they need to see someone in Europe wants to come over. I say we get Dimitar Berbatov. I say we try to snag his butt. But a lot of people, they're set where they are. And MLS is kind of like the senior cup. This is where we go when we still want to play, but you know. So it's sort of like where if Brett Favre played football, you know, that's where he would go after he was done with the Premier League. He would go into, you know, MLS. But then other people like, hey, I started my career in MLS, so. I mean, granted, football will never be in this country what it is in Europe. Never in a million years. Nor do we. I don't really want it to be. You know, we all have our things. We have the NFL. They have football. You know, rugby is huge. I love rugby, but I can never seem to find it. It's hard to find it. I went to 2007 to see my buddy Scott Needham in Paris, and good friend. And when I was there, it was a Rugby World Cup, so I got the best of both worlds. It was great just being in like a huge field, and they had like up against this building, they had like a huge projection TV thing, and they would air the games, and there'd be like 2,000 people just sitting there, and someone would go buy a bunch of baguettes, someone would buy some wine, they'd just be passing around wine and baguettes and cheese, and there's probably about 50 languages there, but y'all understood bread, cheese, and wine, and like sausages and stuff, and it's great. And you'd sit there, have some guy with one of the jerseys and one of the teams yelling something. You don't know he's yelling, but he's because it's not, you know, French or English. cool, and high-five them, and it brought people together. It doesn't matter what you believed politically or religiously. You're all there for the Rugby World Cups. Well, I was there to see a friend at the same time. But I have travel knowledge, and they have apartments and stuff you can rent by, like, the week and, like, the month. And they have, like, a little kitchenette, and they have, like, a bedroom, a little bathroom, and it's basically like a foreign exchange student. And I was paying, like, $60 a night, and this couple from Cincinnati, they're paying, like, $200 and some. I'm like, well, it's the Rugby World Cups. Yeah, where I'm staying, it's designed for, like, foreign exchange students. Their prices really don't fluctuate just because of an event coming in. But anyone can stay there. And if you know some of these things, you can get deals. Speak of the deal, I can't think of the name of the website, but there's like a, it's like skip, it's like layoverskip.com or something like that. And there's a guy that figured out that, let's say you're in New York and you want to go to Phoenix, Arizona. Well, from New York to Phoenix, it may be like a $600 plane ticket. But if you take a trip to, let's say you go from Phoenix to Indianapolis, from New York to Indianapolis to Phoenix, it's $500, let's say, or $400. Well, if you go from New York to Philadelphia to Chicago to Phoenix to Los Angeles, and you do like a 3-stop trip, it'll cost you $100. And you get off at your destination. And he has a whole website where you can say, okay, I need to go from point A to point B. I need to go from Indianapolis to Phoenix. And they may have a flight that ends in LA, and it's a $120 ticket, but you just get off when you get it. When you land in Phoenix, you just don't take the flight to LA or the flight to Vegas and LA or whatever. You just get off wherever your destination is, and it may be 1 stop into the trip or 2 stops in, but you get it for way cheaper. Because I've had people that have gone from Indianapolis to Vegas, and they went from here. One of my friends went from here to like Indianapolis to Vegas, and he went from here to like North Carolina to like Dallas to like Phoenix, and Phoenix to Vegas. He got it dirt cheap. And yeah, but I can't beat that price. I couldn't even come close. Yeah, the traveling sucks, but he goes, you basically do that, but your end destination is not where you're going. It's one of the destinations in between, and you, because we had Unidyne people coming in yesterday, corporate, and talking about this website, and all of that talking about that, I have no idea. But that's just where it's at, you know. I mean, it's just interesting, you know, that you can, that, and I don't know how they can get away with that, because I thought they'd say, okay, well, this person has a ticket for this flight, and he's not on it, and whatever, you know. He was on this flight, but no, I don't know. Who knows? But that's just something very interesting, and that I just thought I'd bring up. And I was watching last night, and this is what everyone needs to watch is Food Inc. It is, just because I'm a foodie doesn't mean you shouldn't watch this. If you watch this movie and aren't outraged and want to change how food is, not many people realize this, but like, you go back to the 50s, there were thousands and thousands of tobacco farmers. Now, there's fewer and fewer because the demand for tobacco is not big. Well, back in the day, there were hundreds of slaughterhouses in this country. Now there's 13. You look at a house that Tyson owns to, like, a guy that raises chickens for Tyson. They have very strict detail. This is 199% how you have to run your house. You can't have any windows open, nothing. It has to be completely dark, has to be this, or they'll drop you, and it can cost you $500,000 to to set up two chicken houses and you make $18,000 a year. And they'll keep telling you, oh, well, if you want to stay up to date, you have to have this $4,000 blower fan. You have to have this. And it's like in North Korea, basically. It's our way or the highway. You know, here's a bird that used to take 2 months to get to this weight, 3 months to get to this weight, now they get to that weight in a month. Oh, but, well, if you can get a bird, if you can get a chicken to weigh, to slaughter with, if you can get a chicken to slaughter in a month as opposed to 3 months, why wouldn't you do that? Well, what's wrong with the chicken? Why is it getting, you know, I'm sorry, but if you have a salmon that is 5 feet long, 3 feet long, and 6 inches long, and they're all the same age, and they've all been alive the same length of time, isn't there something you want to know why? Okay, why is this thing, why is this 5-foot salmon been around 2 weeks, and this 6-inch salmon's been around 2 weeks? I'd want to know. Oh, but like Monsanto, they're like tobacco industry. You can't touch them. Well, now, see, you can, not many people realize this. You can patent seeds. They have like, if I was a farmer and a Monsanto seed came onto my property, they could sue me. They're copyrighted and they're patented seeds. There's something wrong with that. That's why I try to make sure stuff I buy is non-GMO. And they're trying to actually eliminate GMOs in the exact opposite sense. They're trying to eliminate, like, heirloom seeds. It's your food. Know what's in it. It's just, you just need to watch the movie. That's all I'm going to say. It's just, it will really, 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 really wake people up in this country to where their food's coming from and how genetically altered it is. And it's really scary. Really scary. Because the bandit, it's like, I don't chew gum anymore because almost every gum contains aspartame. Why? We didn't have it in the gum before. We didn't need it. Now it's in everything. Aspartame, and believe it or not, if you ever saw that, like, that guy, he's not around anymore, but he's like the medical cures doctors don't want you to know about, like financial cures. He's in jail now because he did a thing with, I can't even think of the guy's name now, but he did like the, they made claims on something that wasn't true, and I can't even think of the guy's name, but he had like a book where he showed you how you can find money that you're owed and all this stuff, and I got his face in my picture in my head, but I can't think of his name. And one of the things in his no cure books is getting rid of aspartame. And I think since I've eliminated it, a lot of my spasms, not that I don't get muscle spasms, I still have them because of my myopathy, but they've gone way, way, way down to like a couple a month. I used to have them all the time. And then when I noticed, crap, this has aspartame, that has aspartame, it says this, eliminate diet. They're starting to put it in non-diet things. Because my sister's like, well, I'm chewing this gum, I don't want that crap. And then I'm like, well, if you're going to chew it, chew it. If you're going to ingest it, ingest it. You know, it's getting to be in sugar gum and all this other crap anyways. But it's just, it shows you, that movie shows you how corrupt it is. Because when they went to the Supreme Court to find whether they could patent a seed, one of the Supreme Court justices used to be a Monsanto attorney. So if you use Roundup in any type of Roundup product, you're supporting Monsanto. Just so you think about it. You know, like 90% of soybeans are Monsanto genetic soybeans. That's why I love my plain milk. They make sure it's GMO free. And let me tell you, I know there's a town I moved to out in Oregon that's banned GMOs. Like, when you go there, like, they won't allow any food in that's non-GMO. But then, like, there's this guy that's in Indiana that was, I'm a non-GMO farmer, and everyone around me is growing this GMO crap, and all this crap's getting in my yard, and they were coming after me. And he's like, I'm not even growing this crap. What I would do is I would come in there, and I'd get a group in there with hazmat suits to take the seeds out of there. I'm like, okay, well, here's the bill. Well, your seeds came onto my property, and I had to have a hazmat team remove them. I want you to pay for it. Those things are nasty. But that's just the food in me. I don't know where your food comes from. Demand non-GMO. Go to your grocery store and say, hey, call up companies and say, yeah, I just want to let you know that does your product contain GMOs? Okay, then you can just let the people up in the box know that I'm not going to eat them. And until you change to a non-GMO completely, we will refuse your product. Because that's what they did with Cheerios. They got it to be GMO-free, but basically there is no GMO oats. It was just a little bit of corn in there that they used as GMO. Because, like, even Coors Light, I'm considering not drinking anymore because it contains GMOs. For Budweiser, they use GMO corn. Call them up and say, hey, I don't want that. Say, can you? Well, I'd say, well, then tell me why it's banned in Europe if it's so safe. Tell me that much. See, it was in England where they did testing with the Harrogate mouse study that they were going to show, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to find out if tobacco is dangerous. We don't care. And when it came out, the British people were like, oh, this is the fun, dangerous, naughty thing. It's a thing that you're going to do. You're going to smoke cigarettes, but it's kind of a naughty thing to do because, hey, it's not healthy. It's not good for you. They didn't care. In a black pack with a coffin on the front. Let's go light these things up. I bet you I get emphysema after one pack. How much? Why don't even list the benzopyrene on there? Wow. Now let's get this stuff. This stuff has higher concentrated benzopyrene. They didn't care. You know, that the tobacco was bad after that Harrogate study. You know? Europe, if GMOs are banned, there's probably a reason why. And if they're banned there, why aren't they banned here? Just think about that, you know? But here they try to cover up stuff. They don't want you to know what's in your food. Let me see here. All the slaughter companies and all, like, Monsanto and all of them, not one person was willing to be interviewed. That's why. Because they go after the farmer that uses Monsanto, and they go after the farmer to pressure them to use it. They're, you know, it's not really a freedom. How can it be a freedom to use non-GMO seeds when everybody around you is growing that genetically modified crap, and it's getting into, it's cross-pollinating. And what we mean by, with Monsanto, is you can't save seeds. Normally what you did was you took these two rows and, you know, and you'd put strings around them, and, okay, these two rows we're saving for seed extraction. I'm going to take the corn, and this is what we're going to plant next year. You can't do that. You have to buy it every year, because that's patent infringement. Imagine like Tabasco farmers. Okay? Well, we make Tabasco pepper sauce. You mean we can't take the best Tabasco peppers and we use them year after year? We take the best ones and extract the seeds and use those to plant for next year? We're going to have to get and buy Tabasco pepper seeds every year from a company? It's ridiculous. But that's Food Inc. Check it out. It's on Netflix. It's really cool. Now let's move on to my favorite sport, golf. I love golf now. I got this book on how to play golf, man. It was fun, man. It said, I put a tee down, I put the ball on top, and it said, now you got to address the ball. And I'm like, hello, ball. And then Obama came in and said, okay, you're going to have to move the golf course. You know, okay, you're going to have to move because, see, I'm playing golf here, and you're going to have to leave. Yeah, even though you got a wedding in 24 hours, you got to move it. I'm just so sorry. He probably knew that with them, he couldn't get away from it being publicized, you know, like, so that's why he had called him up. And I just feel so bad that you guys, I hope your wedding went great. I just feel so bad that you had to move your wedding, you know. Really? Because he probably can't control them. Couldn't shut them up. So I got to be the nice umpire. Whatever. I'd be, no way. He ain't playing nothing. All right, moving. See this? Okay. You're going to have to shoot me and move my dead, bloated corpse out of here before I leave. We're having a wedding. Tell Obama to beep. I'll give him the one-finger salute. That's just me. But, like, with the Food Inc. thing, when we had the hundreds of slaughterhouses, now we have 13. You have to know your history to know where you're going forward. If it's gone wrong, how can you know how to fix it? If you're a restaurant, how can you know what's going, how do you know if it's going to work if you don't know your history? Well, they tried this and it didn't work. What did they do wrong? Or could they have done something better? I kind of say that because I worked at a restaurant and we came up with a hot dog and a pretzel bun with a Mornay sauce on one side and a mustard sauce on another and pickle relish and all this. And who in the heck would want a pretzel bun? Damn it. We couldn't give those things away. The pretzel bun on a kosher, a big-ass 8-ounce kosher hot dog and a pretzel bun, you couldn't give those away to save your life. And guess what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Now everybody and their mother has pretzel buns and everything. Chickens, chicken sandwiches, hamburgers, hot dogs, fish sandwiches, you name it, they put it on a pretzel bun. My point is, how many of you heard of the Whigs Party? Whigs Party is what now is the Republican Party. When people got fed up with what was going on, not many people realize this, but back in the day, there were still people that were in our government that tried to get us to go back towards the way of England. Yeah, we'll just go along with this for a little bit, but then we're going to change them and get them to where this country is basically like England. Well, yeah, the Whigs Party, and what did people do? They stood up and turned into what we have is the Republican Party. Think about that. Because it's going on now. The Republican Party now is like the Whigs Party of old. And Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and some of these people like Ben Carson are trying to come in and create a new, we only have a one-party system. And that's one thing I try to get to the head of people like Malcolm that I'm friends with and other people. There's a one-party system. There really is no difference between Republicans and Democrats. They're screwing you. It doesn't matter. Hey, damn Republicans, Obama can cave in there. I'm like, really? You really think there's a freaking difference between a Republican and a Democrat? John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, they're progressives. Just because they have Republican in their name doesn't mean squat. What do you think? Well, guess what? It's great. Mike Huckabee's going to look into an exploratory committee to run for president. He's leaving his Fox News program. Why? Because if he gets into the race, some of these conservatives are going to side with Mike Huckabee. Some are going to side with like a Ted Cruz. It's going to split the votes, and it's going to make it a lot easier for the Republicans to get, you guessed it, Jeb Bush in the White House. The government wants politics as usual. They don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican that gets in there. They don't want to have change. They don't want to cut spending. They don't want to do anything. They want to leave it there. It's an old boys club. They're getting away with all kinds of stuff. And they don't want their party to end. They don't want to have all that fun to end. It's going to split the vote. You're not going to, okay, well, how are you going to convince every single person to go for Ted Cruz when you got someone that some people look at as, hey, he'd be a decent president? Even though Mike Huckabee really has no chance in hell of getting in. It's the bottom line. He doesn't. No shot in. But they don't care. They want to keep their party politics going. They want to keep the Republican Party intact. If John Boehner was a Republican, he would have said, okay, this Obamacare is not the lay of the land. We're going to repeal it. I'm tired of hearing, like, Rick Harrison from I was paying $19,000 a year for an employee for health insurance. Now it's $30,000. My dad's basically the same way. Going from like 18 or something to like 27 or 29,000 a year per employee for health. Because you have to have coverage on there for people that will never need it. She's an 80-year-old hysterectomy person, but she has to have contraceptive protection and birth control protection. Hey, who knew? Who knew? But you gotta pay for all that crap that you're not using. And that's what, you know, because I remember there saying, are you and Malcolm arguing about politics? I said, there's no such thing as arguing. I just, when people don't get what's really going on here, it's not an argument. When you're just trying to show them that there's one party. You know, like when that couple had to move their wedding because of Obama and you show them an article. That's not real, whatever. I'm like, dude, that's Yahoo News, and Yahoo News was bought by ABC. You know, that's the problem in this country. You have so many people that half of this country is Ferguson. It is. Half of this country is Ferguson. We have people will sit there and no matter what they tell you, no matter what you say, no matter what evidence is produced, they will never believe you. That cop killing a black man with his arms up. Really? Well, you want me to show you the autopsy photos of the black guy being killed? And you want me to show you the bullet hole through his hand? The only way that happened is if his hands were at his stomach, not up in the air, because there's a hole going through both hands. Therefore, he couldn't have his hands up like this. You know, it doesn't matter. They won't believe you. You know, when I showed a video where Barack Obama is there, and Michelle Obama talks about how, you know, we're going back to Barack's home country of Africa to Kenya, and we're going to, you know, do AIDS testing to prove there's nothing to be ashamed of. To be tested for AIDS, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Whatever, you believe that? Welcome back. I don't know what's going on, but because, like, my girl will not move her iPhone, and her iPhone will, like, say, like, poor connection, and she won't move anything when we're face chatting, and same thing here, I'm not moving anything, not doing anything, and everything is the same, but it was saying I had like lost connection with my servers and stuff that allow me to chat. So I'm gonna have, once I get off here, I'll have to call my tech support and find out what's going on, because I have full bars of everything. Nothing is missing, so I don't know. It's done that for me before, where like I'll be in one spot and I'll have like full bar on my cell phone, and then without even moving, I'll go like one, then back up to full, and it, you know, like, I don't know. Anywho, the first time it's via the Direct Connect feature that I've had an issue, so I'm not going to complain once out of like 35. But as I was saying, how do we change? How do we change when you have people that the evidence doesn't mean anything? The truth doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't. No one cares. Well, half the people get their news from like Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert anyway, with college kids. They don't care. I don't. It's just something that makes you think. You know, when no one cares, the fact that Obama was at a place and had dinner where it cost $500,000, $500,000 to be there. I've said this to people, and I believe we're about ready for a revolt in this country. You know, at least England several years ago said, hey, with this one big party that they do every year, if the British people are doing without, so shall we, and they cut way back on what they did for the party. You don't see that in this country. And guess what happened in the French Revolution, when all the French people were living like billionaires and millionaires, and the average French person couldn't afford, okay, here's a slice of moldy bread. And we're starving. The revolution happened. That's why there's no royalty in France. And I believe pretty soon that's going to be the thing going here. Enough about that. Some good news. There's change going on in North Korea. Not many people know it. It's not great change. But in North Korea, there was a documentary I saw the other night when I stayed at work. Because of snow, I stayed at work. And I watched a documentary in North Korea, and there's lots of defectors defecting via the China side. And when they're defecting via China, what they're doing is they have like a radio programs now in South Korea, because they make it to South Korea. And some of these defectors are doing radio broadcasts, and then they're smuggling in these on discs, and people are getting to see like TV and getting to see what life is like in Seoul, South Korea, and they're starting to realize, look at what we have. And we have Kim Jong-un and Kim Il-sung and all these people. But look at, they don't have a dear leader. And look at what they're doing. And look at the freedoms they have and where they can go and what they can do. And, you know, and they're starting to see how bad they have it. And they're starting to realize that what the North Korean propaganda is saying is full of beep. Really is. And there's starting to be major change, because there's lots of people that are by the thousands bringing in contraband. That's why that the new guy, Kim Jong-il, when these people were supposedly talking to people from South Korea, they're executed. That's why he's killed several people to try to keep them in line. So it's a really scary thing when you think about it, because of that fact that you have someone, because they're the information age now is to the point where they're starting to be able to bring in and have a hard time stopping information in that country, and people are starting to see the light, and they're starting to question everything that they're being told by the regime and the dear leader. And North Korea will not fall, just that regime will fall, and they will hopefully get better standards, and hopefully maybe we can bring some people in there to help them out and get mission open and get aids in there and get some help, and get the people out of those prison camps and all that stuff. And it's very interesting because, like, half the people in the documentary, their names are altered, and a lot of times they just have someone else say what they said in English. And what you see, you don't hear them at all to protect their identities. And, like, this guy goes, "I'm risking my life, but I don't care." He goes, "The world needs to see this, how North Korea really is, not this propaganda that North Korea shares, that the regime shares." At the nation's TV and the old propagandists and say, "Oh, it's just, it's like they act like there's millions of dollars and there's nothing there," and all kinds of stuff, and you name it. It's one of the feel-good stories to see that country starting to slowly but surely change, hopefully for the better. And I really believe it will change, and we will, because Russia is not great, but it's better than it was, before the Iron Curtain came down. It's not great, but it's better. And hopefully North Korea can get to better, a lot better, and as more and more people defect and come out and try to affect the regime and say, "Hey, wake up, folks, you're brainwashed." And that's what I try to do here. I try to wake people up and say, "Hey, you're being, if you really think that they care about you, the only reason they care about you is because he has a house right next to yours, and he's trying to get money to help his area and put in new drainage in your neighborhood. It's more for him than it's for you. If you didn't live next to him, he wouldn't be doing that. You wouldn't be the benefactor." But that's because they showed this one time on the BBC World. They showed, here's an area where this congressman lives, and this is an area where he has no jurisdiction over. And he was getting funds to help his area, and this area was all fixed up and nice, and this area was trash. Just like go to Gary, Indiana. They spent tons of money fixing up Michael Jackson's boy's home. But the boy hit home with Michael Jackson doesn't mean anything, because guess what? The rest of the neighborhood and stuff they didn't fix up. If you have a pristine home in the middle of the ghetto, what makes a difference? You ain't going to fix up the whole ghetto. Who cares about one house? And that's what a lot of people were pissed at. Why didn't they spend money and fix up the whole area, make the whole area good? Because you go about four blocks from his house, you walk into the liquor store, you walk into the center of the thing, and it's like bulletproof glass all around, and you have to say, "Okay, I want this," and then it gets slipped through a hole, and ain't no better. But, it's trying to change. I guess it's like this, it's like the people in North Korea. That documentary really struck me because it's these people trying to educate those people about how brainwashed you are. Some people, they don't know whether they know what's right and wrong. Like, "Okay, I'll be killed if I don't support the dear leader. I have 5 pictures. Which one's your favorite?" They're all our favorites. And there are people that are trying to wake people up and say, hey, this is where you are in Korea, in the North. This is how it is in the South. And that's what I try to do here. Okay. This is what's really going on. You need to wake up. Knock on wood. Some people get it, some don't. I just don't get when you can show somebody something and they still don't believe. I mean, I guess it's like I know people that believe in God, like me. But on the other hand, no amount of evidence could you prove. It'd be almost, you would have to actually have them walk up to an actual body and say, okay, here's DNA, here's this is an actual Bigfoot. It's dead, it's on an operating table, this is not fake. Here's all the DNA testing we did, here's the blood samples, da-da-da, check it out. I want to know who made this, man. This is really good. They'd get a job in Hollywood in a heartbeat. Really? You know, like there are people that believe blindly in God, but then, well, where's the evidence of the UFO? Well, show me the evidence of God. And they couldn't tell you how they know God exists, but they want to see proof 100% that, you know, they would have to see the extraterrestrial in person and prove that it, and then they'd feel like, man, that was, man, is that a cyborg? Is that like a robot? What is that, you know? So, I don't know. I believe in God, and so, but life, but to have life outside our planet is just, you know, it's too heresy to believe that life couldn't exist outside our planet. Like, God could only create one race. You know? It's like, I'm going to kind of doodle. I got about, what do I got? About 10 minutes left, and I'm going to, like, I started my very, very first shows on the paranormal and things that aren't explained, and that always fascinates me, because like the one guy said, he goes, if you were to take the pyramids, and if it took 22 years to build the pyramids, for example, you would have had to cut, form, shape, and put into place one block every, how many? Every 9 seconds to build that thing in 22 years, like they claim. And like some of those things, there's like 30-ton blocks. How did they move some of those? And there's some places where, okay, how did they get the blocks up there? Okay, I can see how this guy shows how he can move a huge block, but how would you get it up this steep of a hill on this ledge right here? You couldn't do it using what you're showing me. And like in Pumapunku, in the highlands of Bolivia, some of those stones, they said, well, we did under microscope and all kinds of stuff, and nothing we did can get a cut like this stone shows under the microscope. Okay? This is, well, laser. A laser does it pretty almost identical, like 99.9%. But here's the thing. They wouldn't have lasers back then. This is not sandstone. This is diorite. Something stronger than diorite is diamonds. So how would they have cut it back then? This is thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And some of this stuff is so precise. Okay, here's a 2-millimeter strip down this piece of diorite with holes every 13 millimeters. It's so precise, but the only way that could have been done is with a diamond. Because the only thing stronger than diorite is diamond, and that's the only technology they would have back then. There's two things with diamonds. So, it just makes you, it fascinates me and wonders, you know, there's like, everyone does that, like if there's supposed hauntings and, you know, and different things, you know, you sit there and you go, wow, that's cool, let's go check out the cemetery of this house, and I don't know, I've seen what now I know as a ghost, but back then you don't, I mean, I guess it's kind of different, because when we were kids, when we saw what we saw that one time, we didn't go, oh, we saw a ghost, we just saw like a man and a woman walking through the woods on Battleground, and it looked like Little House on the Prairie, looked like a guy, looked like a Laura Charles Ingalls type person. I'm like, what are you doing? They just looked out odd. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't be, like, I can pull out one of a rifle and shoot, whatever, I don't care. It's not their property. They're trespassing. When we should have still been able to see them, they just gone. Didn't think much of it. And since seeing Unsolved Mysteries, and I look back, I'm like, oh, that's what it was. That it had to have been a ghost. You didn't think about it at that time. It's not like you run inside. So it's just one of those things that you look at and you go, wow, that's kind of interesting, and you just kind of put it in the back of your mind, and then later when stuff happens, you go, hey, that makes sense. Now I know what I think I saw, but back then you never really said, oh, this is what it was, that's what it was. You didn't know. You know, and it would take, I mean, I know people that could go into a house and they could get their arm cut by something. You know, they can sit there and walk through a room, and then when they come out, ah, and then lift up their shirt and there's claw marks in the back. And when the claw marks in the back, I guess my point is with a lot of this is there are things no matter what, no one's going to believe you. No one's going to believe no matter what you show them, no matter what. And that's what I try to do with this show is try to educate people. And what can we do? How can we go forward? How can we educate people in the right direction? What, you know, like, what is it going to take for you to believe something? And how can I show you that? You know, and that's where this country is, and this world in general is going. I mean, I want you to watch Food, Inc. and make up your own mind. After seeing that, do you support Monsanto? Are you against them? I'm like Glenn Beck. I want to show you things. Make up your own mind. Is the sporting director, Ali Curtis, at New York, is he to blame? You know, if he would have won a championship, would they would have kept him? Or if he came in second, would they, you know? I want you to make up your own mind. You know, here's what's going on. You know, they're trying to keep the precious Republican Party intact, so that they can basically have the one party system masked by two parties. You know, 99% of the Republicans are progressives. They want to keep that there. But if you don't believe that, then you don't. But have all evidence out there. There was a guy that actually wrote in to Glenn Beck, and he's just a fearmonger, and he's just cashing in off of you, and he goes, I'm not trying to fearmonger anything. I show you, don't take my word for anything. You don't want to believe me? Don't. But take what I say and look it up. Prove what I'm saying is wrong. Prove to me that couple didn't have to move their golf game because of Obama. Prove to me that John McCain is not a progressive, that Lindsey Graham's not a progressive, that Mitch McConnell's not a progressive, that John Boehner's not a progressive. Glenn Beck called them out as progressives at a GOP thing one time, and let me tell you something, he got reamed over the coals. They wanted to damn near kill him. How dare you do that? Well, you won't be mad if it's true. You'd be like, what are you saying that for? Now, you won't be irate if it's true. You'd be like, so we are, what do you do? No, they're trying to hide that fact. So that you keep voting for these people that are basically no different than the Democrats. But since they're Republican, you're Republican, and you're just going to go with it. You know, if you believe Glenn Beck or don't believe Glenn Beck, it doesn't matter. Look it up. Do your research. Look up what he says or what I say. Watch Food Inc. Make up your own mind. That's what this is all about. If you want to do something in life, do something in life. You know? You can shake your fist to heaven and say, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. So if you want to shake your fist at heaven, you can do that. If you want to change someone's life or world, you can do that. If you want to sit on the bench, you can do that. If you want to be in the race car, you can do that. If you want to sit on the stands and be a fan, you can do that. You can believe whatever you want to believe. Just have the facts. And know, okay, this is all the sides. Yeah, it's nice to have a chicken that can be ready for slaughter in a month, but know all the facts. What do they do to get it there that fast? So, folks, I want to thank you all for tuning in. I've got about 30 seconds left, about 20 seconds left, and I'm going to leave you with this. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to ourselves, each other, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. From Lafayette, have a great day. God bless you all.